John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Die Herrlichkeit des eingeborenen Sohnes Gottes. That is where the glory lies. That God became flesh. He became very real to the world, to all of us. And I think this is perhaps the most important phrase in the Bible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God, God Himself, came to us in form of a child. And we know the purpose of His coming was not just for us to adore a baby in the manger. A baby doesn't stay a baby. The purpose was that He would grow up, and as a man, He would go and teach God's will and reveal God's heart to us and ultimately to die on the cross for us because there was no other way. Someone describes it this way: the infinite became an infant. The eternal one became a wee one. In the Message in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, Philippa 2, Vers 6 bis 8, in the Message it says, He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what, not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. That is how Jesus became flesh for us. The Word became flesh. God's appearance in human form on the earth speaks volumes about His love to us. He loves us so much. Like John chapter 3, verse 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Or eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is God's plan. Whether we believe it or not, whether we reject it or not, it doesn't change the fact that this is indeed God's plan. He became flesh for us. He became one of us. So he could die for us and make a way for us for eternal life and eternal bliss in heaven. This is indeed the greatest message, the most powerful message in this world today. A message that needs to be heard by every person in this world, that God became relevant to us. He was one of us. So that he could save us from our sins. He became that sacrifice that no one else could bring, the sacrifice that wasn't enough in the Old Testament with the animals that were slaughtered and the blood that was shed, the blood of animals, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Word that became flesh. Only His sacrifice is sufficient. There's no other one. God deeply cares for us. He was made sin for us so that He could save us from ourselves, from sin, and from the grip of Satan. And this is the kind of God we serve. Now, we see that He was interfering with the world. He came into this world, the Bible says, and the world didn't know Him, didn't recognize Him. Even the religious leaders, they rejected Him. He was somewhat repulsive. He didn't fit in the mold of the usual, because the old was being torn down. It was never going to be the same again after Christ came into this world. The world has changed because of Him. And loved ones, your world, your heart, your life can change because of Him. And only He can transform us. Only He can make us a new creation. And that happens through faith in His salvation plan. God came even though He knew the consequences. God knew from the beginning, Jesus knew from the beginning that He had come to die on the cross for us. And yet He did it willingly. He was willing to come even if it meant that the Almighty, the Eternal One, would experience our pain, our sufferings. Not only that, that He would experience more severe pain than you and I probably ever will. The painful death on the cross. He came to suffer for you, for me, so that we would be reconciled unto God. God's coming in human form is important because it reveals the needs we have. People who reject Christ in our time, who reject the Messiah, who reject the fact that Jesus is our Messiah, they deny the reality that they're living in. Because the reality is, we are lost forever without Christ. We cannot go to heaven. We cannot go to the Father without Christ. This is what Jesus clearly says. No one comes to the Father but by me. You know, over the years as pastor, I've heard all different kinds of means of ways to present a message. And a lot of people say the church today has to be relevant. The Word of God has to be made relevant so that people will understand it, so that people will accept it. And the church needs to become a seeker-friendly church so that seekers will feel comfortable in the church service under the Word of God. It has to be made so relevant that they don't feel any kind of challenge. But loved ones, I want to tell you today, the Word of God, the Bible, is relevant as it is. God's plan is relevant as it is because the Word has become flesh. It became relevant to us, and that is enough for us to understand. Jesus became man in this world. He died for us on the cross. He paid the price for your and my sins so that we would be free. And that's the Christmas message we have. that we would be free indeed from sin. And this year I've experienced some things that I've observed that are going on in this world, and I call it the unholiness movement is at hand in our day and time. What I mean by that is that people are taught, Christians are even taught, that no, you can't be free from your sin. You just have to manage sins. I mean, you sin a little less today than you did yesterday, and just don't overdo it, but you keep on sinning. You will be sinners the rest of your life until you die. No, this is why Jesus came in the flesh, to save us from our sins, because it is the very name Emmanuel means God with us, because he will save his people from their sins. We need to get free, become free from sin. And that is the plan of salvation. That is the love of God to all of us. God's coming reveals the need that we have. Because we have been, if you want to use that term, we have been kidnapped by the enemy. I want to read you a story that I read, a true story about a Deputy Sheriff Lloyd Prescott on March the 5th in 1994. He was teaching a class for police officers in the Salt Lake City Library. And during the break of his teaching session, he stepped into the hallway, and as he did, he saw a gunman, a guy with a gun, forcing 18 hostages into a nearby room. Prescott, who was dressed in street clothes, he fell in line with the group, became one of the hostages. The gunman had not noticed him, and Prescott followed him into the room and shut the door. Gunman announced in the order in which he would execute all the hostages. And then it was Prescott that identified himself and said, "I am a police officer." And he stepped in between the shooter and the hostages and says, "I am representing the law. I am a police officer. You can fight with me." So they started to fight, and Prescott ended up shooting the hostage taker, and all of the 18 hostages were free. This is what Christ has done for us. He came to bear the brunt of the evil one who tried to, even in Gethsemane, squeeze out the last hope that was there for you and me. For this reason, in Hebrews chapter 2, he had to be made like one of his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. I like what John Maxwell wrote on this thought. He said, "Jesus literally had to come in the flesh to satisfy God. He had to die for our sins to satisfy the Father. That's why when he said, 'Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me,' God said, 'It's not possible. You have to satisfy me. You must do this. The sinless Son of God must die on the cross for the guilty ones.'" And that is so true. And loved ones, no other religion has this beautiful, this powerful message that someone has died in our stead who is called and who is anointed the Son of God, the Messiah. The Messiah himself has died for us because he was born for us. He's born for you. He's died for you. Buddha did not claim to be God. Muhammad could only claim to be the prophet of God. And only in Christianity does the Word become flesh. Only in Christianity, and this is why we have so many songs that sing of our faith in Jesus Christ, sing about Christmas, sing about what Jesus has done for you and for me. In Jesus Christ, God did not just reveal his will or his laws, he revealed himself. And Jesus says, whoever sees me sees the Father, for the Father and I are one. And this is what I would like you to see this Christmas, more than anything. That Christ became relevant, God became relevant to you and me, and that he became flesh. He dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as the one and only Son of God, full of truth and grace, or grace and truth. The Word is standing in front of us. The Word that became flesh is calling your name. Are you with it today? Do you believe in the Son of God as your Savior, as your Lord? Have you experienced a true Christmas, the Noel that all of us need to experience so that we have eternal life and will not perish one day? I want to close with this beautiful story that was told by a great Danish theologian, Soren Kierkegaard. And I have to read it because of the wording, and we understand it better that way, I think. There was a prince who was running an errand for his father, the king, one day in a local village. And as he did so, he passed through a very poor section of the town, looking through the window of his carriage. He saw a beautiful young peasant girl walking along the street. That was love at first sight, right? He could not get her off his heart. He continued to come to the town day after day just to see her and to feel as though he was near her. His heart yearned for her, but there was a problem. How could he develop a relationship with her? He could order her to marry him. It was in his power to do so. But he wanted this girl to love him from the heart, willingly. He could put on his royal garments and impress her with his regal entourage and drive up to her front door with soldiers and carriage drawn by 6 horses. But if he did this, he would never be certain that the girl loved him or was simply overwhelmed with his power, position, and wealth. So the prince came up with another solution. He gave up his kingly robe and symbols of power and privilege, he moved into the village, dressed only as a peasant. He lived among the people, shared their interests and their concerns. He talked their language. In time, the young peasant girl grew to know him and then also to love him. Because he became one of them. This is a very beautiful example of how God wants us to love him from the heart. Yes, he could overwhelm us by lightning and thunder and all kinds of things. But he came as a newborn baby, so common, but yet so peaceful, so natural, so normal to us, so understanding the needs of a baby, we know it, totally helpless. And we say, yes, that is God coming to us, becoming real to me and to you. I can relate to that because he can relate to me. Jesus came, he was born, he was thirsty, he ate food, he needed sleep, he got tired, he suffered pain, he knew all that, he experienced all that. So no one can ever say, God doesn't understand me. Yes, he does. He does understand you and me. He does bear our burdens because he's been there. When you and I pray about a problem, when you and I pray about pain that we experience, whether it's physical or in our minds, in our emotions, in our spirits, Jesus can say, yes, I understand. I understand. That is the Father's heart for you and me today. He dwelt among us, and yet we saw his glory. Do you see Jesus as full of glory, full of grace and truth? May God let this Christmas message just penetrate our hearts and just let us treasure that and make the most of it by drawing nigh to him and say, Lord, I want nothing more than the fullness of God, of grace and truth through Jesus Christ in my life. Let's stand for prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, we humbly thank you today that you became flesh, the word logos. You became reality, not just a spoken word, not just an idea, but you physically dwelt in this world, yet full of grace and truth, revealing the Father's heart to us. And oh Lord, we thank you so much for the generosity of forgiveness that you have for everyone that asks, for everyone that repents. We thank you that you are wooing hearts and minds today to you, not forcefully, but Lord, that we willingly would love you back. Because you are the King of Kings. You are our bridegroom of our souls and our hearts, and you give us that hope. Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas music and songs that we heard today, and even yesterday, last night. We pray that your word would go out and would accomplish what you send it for. Bless each one of us as we leave today and continue to celebrate with our families. We ask that you would be in our midst, in our hearts, and help us to be aware. For some of us, it may be the last Christmas. But Lord, we know everything is in your hands. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would be with those that are suffering and they would feel that you are our high priest who has compassion and who has understanding, who knows what pain is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great gift and for your plan for eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.